This week on the FanCast, we have another squeaker of a win. We've got a major flag to drop. And we're looking forward to clinching this Eastern final game. It's the Argos FanCast. Crack those cold ones. You can find us at Argos FanCast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos FanCast. I am Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. And joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com. He is the VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.ArgoFans.com.
And from the Double Blue Order, Sir Douglas of House Ballinger, second of his name, Lord of Section 116, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
I heard some people missed me while I was off making money. Shout out to you people. You people are awesome. You can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find the group, the Double Blue Order. You can find them on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We also have a merch store, which features a whole bunch of different merchandise, including one of our best sellers. I'm glad to say that. The Law Firm T-shirt, doubleblueorder.ca.
Well, we're going to start this right off. Normally we do our recap here, but there was some things that came out of the game this past Saturday that I think we need to discuss. And we're going to bring on the gentleman who brought them to light, Marcus Nielsen, and we're going to drop a flag on some individuals in our own fan base, or let me rephrase that, individuals who claim to be part of our fan base. The things that were done have no place, period, anywhere. Society, fan base, they don't have a place anywhere. So we're going to bring on Marcus, and he's going to fill us in a little bit on exactly what went down.
We are joined by Marcus Nielsen, who is a Argo fan, who I'm sure, if you haven't seen his writings on the Toronto Argonauts daily Facebook group, I highly encourage you to go and check them out. He writes, summaries of the games and gets to attend practice fairly often, so he provides some of his thoughts from there. But tonight we're going to be discussing something a little more solemn, if you will. So Marcus, thank you for coming on, and welcome to the Argos FanCast.
Well, thanks for having me.
So why don't you start by telling everybody, I understand this was sent to you by a friend who was at the game on Saturday with their family, including some, I guess his son was, I guess, is trying to get into the CFL a little bit.
Well, yeah, his son is his son's a football player. He's 15 years old. Last year, his older brother actually was going through cancer treatment, and MBT, McLeod Bethel Thompson, had come to support his brother during the treatment, and this young man just looked up to McLeod because of all that, and he thought he was the greatest individual, and he went to the East Final in McLeod Bethel Thompson's private box that with his family, and he had a great time, and they were so hospitable. So his family the other day decided, his mom and dad, let's get tickets, let's bring bring him down and show him what it's like to watch a game with the fans. And after the game, I saw them. It was awesome. They were so happy to see me. We took a picture. But then on Monday morning, his dad sent me a message saying there were some really vile comments directed towards MBT and racial slurs. And I was really taken aback because I'm like, this is not needed amongst our fan base. If you don't like the quarterback or you don't like how he plays, that's one thing. But personal attacks on not just MBT, on any player, are unacceptable. And we'll call them out as a fan base. We'll call them out as an Argo family, and it's not necessary.
Yeah, and it's disappointing that we're still having to have this conversation, you know, this far into the season. And it's taken on a new dimension with what happened at the game. Because we all know that he's a controversial quarterback because some perceive that, you know, he's not getting the job done. But this goes beyond this goes beyond the pale. Like,
most definitely.
I don't get it. Like, what has this man done to piss so many people off?
Well,
not
the
be
thing
Ricky
is,
Ray.
The thing is, the Argos have had some amazing quarterbacks over the years. Some absolute Hall of Fame legendary quarterbacks. And I believe that a lot of the Argo fan base are holding on to what they saw in the past. And they see someone like Zach Kolaros in Winnipeg having so much success. And they put that on MPT. And I don't think it's necessary. Yes, Zach Kolaros has won a couple Grey Cups with Winnipeg after getting traded. We didn't think he was going to play another game when the Argos traded him. But at the same time, with the way the Argos offensive line has been over the past couple years, 2019, 2021 especially, I don't think Zach Kolaros would be playing right now. I think the Winnipeg offensive line is that great. But the problem is the naivety of the Argos fan base. They'll keep looking at all the Argos quarterbacks from the past and putting it on Mikhail Bethel-Thompson, who is actually closing in on Damon Allen for third all-time in passing yards for the team. So as much as people want to hate the guy, he's been amazing in the community. There's not a bad word that can be said about him. I saw him at the Salvation Army a couple of days ago, at the food bank before that, at the children's hospital before that, and that's all in the last couple of weeks, not to mention all the stuff he does abroad. He goes to Latin America and runs football camps. The guy is a great individual. If you don't like his style of play, that's one thing. And I agree. If you don't like it, I've criticized it at times. But that's attacking the man personally and his family and his life partner, that is not acceptable. And to be honest, this is the one thing the Argos need to be proud of. The fan base has responded and has condoned the act. They do not, or condemn the act. They do not accept this behavior. And that's one thing we should be proud of, is that people recognize right away, you attack one of ours, we're going to come at you and we're not going to agree with it.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm proud of the response that the Argo fan base has given this when this you brought this incident to light. You know, it's not something we necessarily want to have to bring to light, but it's, you know, when these situations happen, it's, I think we need to bring these to light to stamp this type of stuff out and push it as far out and hopefully eradicate it from, I mean, I want to say society, but you know, I got to be honest, I don't see that happening. You know, as far as you know, we still have the fringe society that's going to believe idiotic things like that. But I'm want to thank you for bringing that to light so that we can just, we can push this away and get past this. And, you know, there's like, you know, you've said he is, McLeod Bethel Thompson is a great guy. He does so much stuff. And just like so many players, he does so much stuff that nobody even knows about.
100%.
Yeah. He, again, I pose the question, what, you know, I'm going to go at a bit of a tangent here, but, you know, those who are fans of baseball may know the whole principle, this new, this stat called wins above replacement, you know, that tries to calculate how many wins a player got a team above a replacement player. The flaw with that stat is it assumes that there's a capable replacement for him. Fact is, I know we all like Chad Kelly's skill set, but he's not quite there yet. And right now, there's probably only one or, you know, Nathan Rourke and Zach Lourdes are the only quarterbacks I'd want besides MBT. It's the team is 18-11 with him as a start. Well, 18-11 since the start of 2021 with him starting most of the time. Is he perfect? No.
Yeah.
But the players love him. I don't think people quite understand that.
Yeah, I think this is where it's lost. This is where it's lost, and people understand that the quarterbacks, you say 18-11. If you take back the records of the quarterbacks that started those other games, they're under 500. So McLeod Bethel Thompson's record is much better than 18-11 in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But regardless of the stats, regardless of anything, I actually made a post last week, the same thing about Chad Kelly, because there was individuals bringing up his past, talking bad about him because of all the things he did, whether in Denver, whether in Buffalo, whether in, and I said, if you attack the players on a personal level, it is unacceptable. Chad Kelly's been a professional since he's been here. He is learning from McLeod Bethel Thompson. There is no Chad Kelly is taking over McLeod Bethel Thompson right now. That is a ridiculous argument. But people were attacking Chad Kelly because of his past. But he has been here for the whole season. He's been nothing but professional. I will stick up for that guy just as much as I stick up for MBT or any player on the team that gets badmouthed personally, not for what they do on the football field and you're trying to analyze a critique. But if you attack our players personally, that is a problem. And that's why one of the unique things about the Argonauts is we're family. Whether you're on the field, whether you're in the stands, everybody is a family. You go to the tailgate, you'll see you're amongst Argonaut family. But if you can't come after one of ours personally, it is not acceptable. We will call it out. And as soon as we call it out, everybody will band together to call it the same thing, because it's not acceptable. What happened with MBT, his life partner is a person of color, and they called it out. People were making comments about it, and it's unacceptable. Just like my wife, who is Guyanese, she's come to games with me, and she said at times she's felt uncomfortable with comments that have been made. And I said, you know what? I do not appreciate this. And we need to call it out, because this is not the behavior that Argonaut fans are about.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to get with the times, I'm sorry. Yes, we want as many fans in the stands, but we don't want those fans. I can't emphasize that enough. We want as many people. We want 28,000 at our game. But we are not hesitant to say to people, if you do not act respectful, then you could leave. Because that's not the type of fans that we want.
And the thing is, too, what impression, you know, does your friend's son take away from it? And, you know, what impression does your spouse take away from it? You know, things like that may make it such that, you know, they don't want to go anymore. And, yeah. You know, that's what, you know, that's what we got to avoid here. And you're like, this isn't 1960s Alabama, people.
Wake up. We're in 2022.
Exactly.
We are people. Everyone is a person. If you don't like something that's going on the field, that is fine. But never attack someone personally. That is crossing the line. If you say he should have passed instead of taking that sack, he took too long holding the ball, I am fine with that. I don't really care. That's your opinion. If you think Chad Kelly should be playing over MBT, that's fine. Your opinion. That's your fan. That's your opinion. But if it comes to a personal attack, I'll be the first one to say that's not right and it should never happen. And for someone to message me during the week and say that because they feel that I will take it and I will put it out there for people to understand, that bothers me. It's disheartening. It should not happen. That's where I'm getting at with this is we need to understand. We have, and I've said it a million times, the Argo fan base, the Argo family, is number one in Toronto. You will not find a better camaraderie amongst people than the Argonaut fan base. So this is when this behavior happens, we call it out. People see what we're about.
I don't think we could have put it any better. You know, we all agree this has got to stop. But at the same time, if it's going to happen, we are going to call it out and we are going to get rid of you.
Yeah, I don't want. Yeah.
You know, you say, Marcus, you said, you know, we want 28,000 fans, but not at the expense of that kind of behavior. You know, if the difference between, you know, I'm not saying that there's that's much in our fan base, but if the difference is between 28,000 and 20,000, and that 8,000 is of that hateful variety, I'll take the 20,000 every day.
I would tend to agree. I would tend to agree on that one.
Diversity is strength is more than just a slogan on a t-shirt. It's more than just a hashtag. We in the Argo fan base, whether people like it or not, live it and breathe it. So, essentially, if, as we've all of us have put it succinctly here, if you're going to act like that at a game, going with personal attacks, going with racist attacks, then as far as I'm concerned, you can walk the fucking plank right out of our fan base.
Now,
so the one issue I had with my friend's message, and this is the only one issue, because I've known him a long time. He's of Guyanese descent. His wife's of Uruguayan descent. They were at the game with their son. But the one issue I had is calling these people diehards, because they're not diehards. Because the diehards, if they heard that in that section, they would have kicked them out. They would have told them to get out of here. And that's the thing. These guys are not diehard fans who are saying that. There was individuals there saying this hateful rhetoric. And I don't believe they're diehard Argo fans. Because I know people in the end zone. I know people in 114, 115, 116 that are diehard. And they weren't put up with that. And I want to set the record straight. This, like I said, the Argo fan base is strong and solid people. And if they heard what my friend had heard, they would have called it out. Because that's the type of people they are. And this is why I want Argo Nation to understand that we're not here to put the finger at anyone who is supporting the team. This is to say, if you ever hear this is unacceptable. Because the diehards would not do this. The diehards have been around. They would not slander or put out racial tones towards their own players or their spouses.
And I think that's probably the best spot to kind of leave it at that. You know, you couldn't have said it any better. Want to thank you, Marcus.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen. I honestly, like I said, I want to bring awareness. I want to make sure personal attacks don't happen on our team, don't happen amongst our fan base. We're here together, right? And the slogan of the team is all together, let's move together. Let's go in one direction and cut out this behavior.
And next time we have you on, we're not going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about some Argo stuff, and we're definitely going to have you on again sometime, but this time to talk about the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that would be much better.
Marcus, if you want to drop your social media coordinates, so people know where to find you.
Well, you can find me on Facebook, Toronto Argonauts Daily. I'm Marcus Nielsen 8 on Twitter. Like I said before, and I'll say it again, follow people like Will, follow people like Clay, follow people like Ben Grant, follow Bygone Boatman, follow people. There is so much Argos information out there. Don't lose it. Get on it. No one is better than another. We're all trying to put out information to help the club. Thank you, gentlemen, for doing your podcast. It's much appreciated. We'll talk soon.
I'm chopped liver, apparently, Mark. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You can also look for Doug.
I mentioned your name.
This is Doug here, Marcus.
Oh, Doug, what do you mean? I thought it was Will.
And Doug came in a little bit
late.
Yeah.
Okay. Doug, shout out to Doug. Get on Doug. Doug, whatever he does, podcasts, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, get on Doug, whatever you do, man. All right.
Thank you very much, Marcus.
Hey, have a great night.
You too.
Thanks, Marcus.
So that was Marcus Nielsen discussing the disturbing news isn't the right word, but disturbing incident that occurred at the game on Saturday. And basically, yeah, if you're going to sit there and behave like it's 1965 Alabama, then get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
This hatred for MBT is getting...
It's getting out of hand.
Weird. Yeah. Let's face it. Getting out of hand. Like, what more do you want from the guy?
Apparently they want everything they don't know they want, and they probably will want more after that.
Yeah, like,
but
we
want him to win us a Grey Cup, and I'll be happy with that.
Yeah,
I'm happy with this guy as it is right now. You know, we should probably mention that with his 352 yards passing this week, he retook the passing lead in the CFL.
Yeah, and let's, my dad raised a good point earlier today. He said, well, there are a lot of days where Ricky Ray didn't look perfect every day either. And I also posed, you know, a lot of quarterbacks in Argos history who were a heck of a, you know, like, they went with Jimmy Kemp and Jay Barker for 2 years at quarterback. You're telling me they were better than MBT?
What about Cleo Levin?
They're Andre Ware.
Well, Andre Ware, yeah, I mean.
Mike Kerrigan.
I'm sorry. And guys like, you know, even guys like, you know, I like Michael Bishop and Ricky Foggy. You know, I interact with them on Twitter sometimes, but they had their struggles too.
Yep. Well, let's end it from there and let's move on to the actual game from Saturday. The Argos came out winners 23-20. BC was right down with the waning seconds with the chance to tie the game up and send it to overtime. And once again, kickers cannot seem to kick off of grass at BMO Field. Off the upright. Once Dong. Again, the goalposts are the game changer.
Dong.
Doink.
Oh, thank God for the upright.
Yeah.
So we won that 23-20. Just to go over some of the numbers, McLeod Bethel Thompson, 27 of 40, 352 yards and a touchdown. AJ Ouellette, 12 carries, 44 yards. McLeod Bethel Thompson, 3 carries, 24 yards, and one very timely 17-yard run. Chad Kelly had 3 carries for 4 yards, including a touchdown. Receiving, Markeith Ambles, star of the game, 8 catches on 11 targets, 121 yards, 63 yards after catch. Curly Gittens Jr., 6 catches, 84 yards. Cam Phillips, 1 for 55. Tommy Neal, 1 for 37, and his very first CFL touchdown. AJ Ouellette had 5 catches, Brandon Banks 3, Javon Leak 1, and Jeremiah Hadle had 2. As far as the defense goes, well, we did manage to register 1 quarterback sack. We had a forced fumble. Ja'Garrett Davis led tacklers, or sorry, Bridget, 3 quarterback sacks. Excuse me. Ja'Garrett Davis picked up 2 of those himself, along with 6 tackles, Chris Edwards 5, Robbie Smith 4, and the other quarterback sack. And Robert Priester had that forced fumble as well. All in all, I mean, our defense played a relatively good game. Our offense struggled a little bit, especially in that in the first and third quarters. Anything stand out from this game before we get to good, bad, and the ugly, guys?
No, just who had Tommy Neal the touchdown?
I don't think any of us had. I don't think Tommy Neal had him as getting the touchdown.
No.
I mean, if you saw the interview with him after the game, he was overly excited. And, you know, then the rest of the guys who, you know, it wasn't their first touchdown and kind of, you know, were a little bit more low-key on it, comparatively speaking.
Yeah, so my only thought was, I thought when MBT fumbled the ball and BC got the touchdown, like, here we go again, like what happened in the home, like that game against Calgary back in August, where he threw the interception that, you know, gave Calgary life. And I thought, you know, for a couple minutes after that, they were, you know, struggling on offense, on defense, and special teams. I was kind of like, they're not going to be able to respond to this. And it was getting kind of frustrating. And then a light just seemed to go on with, you know, 5 minutes left and 3 straight completions, and yeah, 3 straight completions and a game-winning touchdown, and thank God for that upright.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
Well, as is tradition in 2022, Doug, where do we begin?
Oh, I think we'll just start with the good, I guess. And, I'm always preferential to the defense. And today I want to give Robert Priester a shout out. I thought he played really, really well in the last game.
He did.
He very much did. It's almost like they just kind of like, you know, pull names out of a hat on that defense and goes, all right, whose game is it this week? Robert Priester? All right, you're up. And then they go out and do it. It seems like just a different guy every week is stepping up. And this is Robert Priester's day to step up. Jagera Davis as well.
Yeah, two sacks.
You know, he was in there everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah, he was like chasing. He was chasing down receivers.
Four sacks in three games since he's come back from injury.
This is the Jagera Davis that we all expected.
Yep.
You know, he started off, I guess, a little bit slow for Jagera Davis standards, I guess. But yeah, you're definitely right. He has come on in the last couple games. That's not too shabby. Will, what was your good?
Oh, my good. I was heading down Jagera Davis's direction. I just like the job the defense did in general, given the amount of juggling they had to do around. It went to McManus is hurt, Maurice Carnell was hurt, Deshaun Amos was hurt, so a lot of guys were playing where they don't usually play and acquitted themselves nicely. BC kind of moved the ball a bit in the second half, a little more than I would have liked, but all in all, it was a good performance against, you know, what is still, you know, albeit they were missing a few pieces, BC, but still a good performance against a pretty good quarterback and a pretty good team.
Including one very massive piece that's now starting to practice again.
Oh, for sure.
I want to throw one more good out there. And to be honest, if you're watching if you were watching this game, there were several decisions where it left you scratching your head. Like, why are they electing to go for it on third and three, on third and two? And, you know, we poses questions, you know, to each other about why was that lineup just so all over the place? You know, we thought, okay, maybe they're filling in for the injuries, but then I went ahead and read Ben Grant's article on Doug's favorite site, and he confirmed that the third down gambles were pre-planned. The playing guys out of position, at least as far as, you know, what we're used to seeing out of position, because none of them seemed out of position that for that much of the game, right? So that was all pre-planned. And that design to, you know, kick Chris Edwards out to the corner and Shaq Richardson into the linebacking core, you know, when he mentioned, you know, all week the BC Lions have been practicing with number six in there in the box there and jumping out to cover the. When you see that number six on the corner, everything you've planned for kind of goes a little haywire because you're not seeing things the way you're used to be seeing them in practice. You know, when you see a smaller guy in Shaq Richardson lining up at linebacker, you know, you're expecting because Chris Edwards is a slightly wider guy than Shaq Richardson. You know, you're all those things go into the game plan that was all done by design, that Chad Kelly bomb that he attempted, when that bomb 30-yard pass that he attempted on the second and short, all that pre-planned. And as for much as, you know, the Argos have been known for very conservative play calling, they were not that conservative this week. And I hope that that now throws that monkey wrench into everybody's planning for this Toronto Argonauts team. Now let's, Doug, where are we heading next? Bad or ugly?
I'm going to go bad. And some may disagree with me on this, some may not. But Coach Dinwiddie's choices for plays when it comes to throwing the challenge flag.
I'm with you here.
You could have even put that in ugly. But yeah.
Yeah. But technically, I could probably, you know what? You're probably right. I could throw it in both. I don't care. I mean, damn. Like, I just don't know what to say. Like, I don't think has he won a challenge at all this season?
I think he has, but not many.
Like 2 of 10 or something.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's not good.
No.
And the guys that are feeding him the information, that is a challengeable play, because he's got to have somebody who's in his ear about that.
Right.
Those people need to reevaluate their positions on things.
No shit.
And there's a couple of things that frustrate me about that. Number one, it seems like in the two games against Ottawa and then now BC, the other opposing coaches have, well, I don't know, lucked out's not the right word, but Paulo Police got, you know, challenged for roughing the passer twice and got it. And Rick Campbell challenges for, you know, that wasn't a horse collar tackle and gets it. So not only is Dinwiddie not challenging the right plays, other teams seem to be. And secondly, I don't know if the both of you noticed, but he challenged that one pass interference, lost that. And then there was an egregious PI on, I think it was Curly Gittens Jr., and
that was a forearm to the head.
It was.
And it wasn't called.
And there was no challenge.
And there was there was an awful lot of booing.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen too long after he lost that first challenge.
No, it didn't.
How was that not a horse collar tackle, by the way?
I think it was the shoulder.
Oh, I haven't had a chance to watch the replay on TV yet, but from what I saw, it looked like he grabbed the back of his shoulder pad, like the neck of his shoulder pads.
Apparently it was a good reversal.
Oh. I don't care. All right. Well, there goes my bad.
Now you know how it feels.
Well, no, see, no, I had my bad. I just did Will shot it down. Told me I was wrong. And as the brains of the operation, Will, I'm going to believe you. So.
He listens to me on fantasy sometimes and fail.
Yeah.
Hey, well, we don't have to talk about that anymore.
We can throw a little bit in there at the end, but okay. Ugly. is there anything other than the inconsistency on offense right now?
Yeah, I mean, but mine's more of a general. It's not necessarily Argo related.
All right.
It's just sort of the sequence that sort of ended that game. So the field goal was missed, obviously. Doink.
Doink.
But I believe at that point there was still plenty of time on the clock for, you know, BC to get a stop and still get the ball back. Yeah, because there was still a minute and a half left. But what killed BC all day long was penalties. I think they took 14 penalties and
including biting on the hard count, like, what, five times?
Yeah. But noted shit disturber Chris Edwards got into it with some BC players, as he is known to do. And both Dominic Rhymes and another BC player got called for misconduct penalties. So suddenly, the Argos get the scrimmage from the 45-yard line. And are able to run out the clock. And if I'm a BC fan, I'm looking at that really ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Fact is, you had, you know, yes, you missed that field goal, but you had time to get a stop and get the ball back.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're a BC fan, you're not happy. You're 100% not happy with how that game ended. Doug, do you have anything else that might be ugly?
No. No, like I said, I'm combining my bad and ugly.
All right.
It's a bugly.
All right. Now, I need to bring it back to the good side here and just go to the before the game. I don't think we've had a better spread for a tailgate as we did this week.
Oh, that's not a good. That's a great.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of people that contributed to at least within our group.
I brought the cake.
And
nobody ate, so I ate it myself.
Yeah, well, there was so much other stuff, man.
I know.
I'm still munching on those cookies I brought too.
And everything was, you know, kind of spearheaded by our friend Erica, who, God bless her mother, made some of the best sliders I've ever had.
Yeah, those were absolutely amazing.
So not those are, yeah, you know, I think we're getting closer and closer to the, you know, almost having a full buffet at these tailgates. And we had a couple warming drawers or warming tables. So, you know, we're getting there. We had a few barbecues going.
And not only that, we were able to raise some money for Tackle Hunger as well. I think we raised something like $100.
120, I think the number I heard.
Something like that. It was at least 100, I know that.
I'm glad Erica had her thing up, because when I went into the stadium, I didn't see a single one of them.
Funny, there was one right outside my gate.
Yeah, well, I by the time I had gotten in, I looked around and I saw some kind of walking up. I saw some walking past, but not taking any donations. I don't know where they were going, but when I walked in, I'm not going to say they weren't there before or after, but when I walked in, they weren't there. So, and it's a little... little upset that they weren't there because, you know, you kind of want to get, you kind of want to try and give it, especially when this is, look, it's for all for a good cause, but I kind of want the Argo fan base to, you know, start competing again in this.
Well, there was a box missing outside the gate that the three of us would use to get to our section. Like the middle, the south side middle entrance.
Yeah, maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm just blind. Or anyway.
Well, there, no, there just wasn't
paying
one
attention.
There.
Yeah. Well, enough of that aside, we're coming up. We're heading out to Edmonton on Saturday, as is Will. You're going out there as well.
Oh, yes, yes.
So it looks like, you know, with taking a look at our injury report, we're looking pretty good. The only people that were listed as did not practice were Dejon Allen and Brandon Banks, both for personal reasons. So don't have to worry about that. Edmonton's hurting right now. Toby Antiga, Kevin Brown, Daron Carter. Kenny Lawler.
Yep.
All are not practicing yet this week, so not sure how that's going to come up. But you know, we had what was it, Deshaun Amos is back practicing fully. Davaris Daniels is practicing as well, so you know, it's nice to see. What are your guys' view on exactly what we need to do to beat these Elks?
Well, what I didn't want to happen happened. They are still winless at home. And
And you're thinking, sort of hard you're, to and say. You're thinking worst case scenario here.
Worst case scenario, but I mean, it's hard to say. It's hard. I mean, just don't lose. It's hard to really sit when you're playing a team in the situation that Edmonton's in, out of the playoffs and all that. Like, it's.
We got a team with that has got nothing to lose.
Right, exactly.
Now. Well, I want them to revisit week 16 and do exactly what they did in week 16. They went into Ottawa and annihilated them.
Yeah, went into Ottawa, stomped a mud hole in them and walked it dry. And then when they finally got up, Stone Cold Stunner and walked out.
Yeah, I think that's what they need to do against Edmonton as well. They, you know, need to keep the pressure on them all game. Don't let off. We got to make Taylor Cornelius make quick decisions because he's got somebody in his face. And
which is something our defense loves to do.
Yeah. And on offense, I think we need to sustain some drives and make it a little bit more consistent.
I think it's time to break out the Red Dead Redemption and go on an elk hunt.
Well, it is hunting season.
Get Arthur Morgan to break out the bolt action rifle and put one right in the neck.
Yeah. Holy All God. Right.
God dang, caterwauling. That was a horrible impression. That was horrible.
Who are you trying to do impression of?
Yeah, of a character in Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead Redemption 2, to be precise. One of the it's one of the greatest video games that I have ever played. If you're a video game guy or girl or whatever, if you haven't played Red Dead Redemption 2, go play it. It is honestly, it has got the best story in a video game ever. But anyway, back to the football game. Yeah, let's. I would love the offense has just got to do their thing. The defense has just got to do their thing, and I have Edmonton is gonna be looking to get that first win at home. They're out well out of a playoff spot right now. They're not even in the picture, right? They've been eliminated. So, and we're fighting to keep a gap on Montreal because our final two games are against the Larks. So a win against Edmonton, a Montreal loss will essentially lock up the East final for us.
Well, it actually does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ottawa pulls out another miracle and beats Montreal. And Toronto wins against Edmonton. Those last two games are irrelevant standings-wise.
And the haters would finally get what they're looking for, and Chad Kelly would start.
it'd be nice to clean this up this week.
Make it so it's completely meaningless.
At that point, I may not feel disappointed if they don't get to 12-6. But yeah, we at least got to get to 10-6 first.
Yeah. 10-6 to me, that's a winning season. Like, yep. That would be winning season territory, which would be back consecutive winning seasons now.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, so that's something we haven't had in a while.
No. We are officially out of the fantasy running.
Thank God.
They're in the playoffs now, aren't they?
Yeah. They're in the playoffs. We didn't make the playoffs.
We stink at it.
and yet Ben Grant doesn't toot his own horn enough when it comes to fantasy.
No, he finished second in the regular season, didn't he?
Exactly. He freaking hustled us.
And he kept telling me how not great he was at it.
He freaking hustled us. Straight up.
Coming for you next year, Ben. I would say let's give you some great fantasy advice, but Dibby, for God's sakes, don't take our advice.
Yeah, exactly.
We hit on a couple here and there, but normally we were not great.
I mean, I had my best ever week of the season last week. Thank you, Dalton Schoen.
Well,
yeah. Whoever had Dalton Schoen, 42 points, 42 points in one player. I think we had a full. We may have been close to having a full roster, and not getting 42 points at once this year.
I'm gonna have to call Rod and say, hey, how do you play this fantasy thing? I'm gonna have to call Rod from the former Wood Cookie podcast and say, Hey, Rod, how you doing? Okay, question for you. How do you play this fantasy shit?
Did you look at his record this year?
Well, I mean, he didn't always submit a lineup, so.
Yeah. He's got many irons in the fire, that guy. So.
Yeah. All right, so let's skip over fantasy.
Thank God.
go straight to pick 'em.
Straight to pick 'em.
And so we don't have to flip a coin for Doug this week.
Yeah.
I'm still so angry at you guys for that.
Look, I switched to a Canadian coin the last time we did it.
I don't care. I don't care if you use a friggin' British pound. It still doesn't make still not right.
I could use a British pound.
I actually have a pound coin here at home somewhere. I also have a couple funny euros. So.
Well, we start off in Ottawa. We've got Montreal in Ottawa with Bob Dice now as the head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks, interim head coach after they fired Paul LaPolice. We missed talking about that because of stuff.
The Day of Atonement.
Thank you, dumbass fan. Go ahead. Let's keep going before I go off on a friggin' massive,
all right.
Massive swearing tangent that you're going to have to use the bullhorn to bleep out.
Only when it gets bad.
This would be bad.
Montreal and Ottawa. Who do you got, Doug?
Heart says Heart. Ottawa. Head is also going to go Ottawa because I think this team's going to be re-energized now with Bob Dice at the helm, and the fact that, well, no one's really clinched a playoff spot below us yet.
No.
So it's all so oddly enough, it is all still up in the air, and Ottawa could still sneak in with three games to go.
Shocking.
It's a scenario where Ottawa finishes second.
Yep. There's also a scenario where there is no crossover.
Okay, then Greece any more like it. Sorry, Clay. Yeah.
Have you seen them play lately?
Well, hang on. They could still Saskatchewan could still turn it around.
Not this week though, because they're not playing. So you're picking Ottawa. I am also picking Ottawa because we need them to beat Montreal. Will, I think it's going to be a very tight game. I think it's going to be like a 1 or 2 point spread. But
we obviously want standing wise Ottawa to win. Same time, you know, a couple things like you don't want Ottawa going on a winning streak to win out because all of a sudden they're a threat. And then number two, can you really see Montreal losing two in a row to Ottawa?
I could.
Stranger things have happened. With William Standback back in the mix, a little bit more difficult, but yeah. So, Willie, are you saying you're picking Montreal?
Yeah. Sad as it is.
All right.
That's because you don't like Ottawa.
Friday at 9:30.
I think Ottawa for winning yesterday.
Yes. And so did Deshaun Amos.
So did a lot of Argos. Yes. Charlie Gittens and Enoch Wamba.
The late game on Friday is in Calgary. Hamilton pays them a visit. I don't think I can have both teams spontaneously combust and burn holes into the field. So I am going to go anti-Hamilton. Hamilton loses. Nobody wins. Hamilton loses.
So you're going for the tie then?
No. Hamilton is losing.
You technically, but I will not, technically I will not, he loses, but they lose a tie. They lose in a tie.
I will not recognize a win by Calgary. It just does not happen. This would be like, well, any other game for. Yeah, Will just hates every other team but Toronto. So
I was gonna try and say,
you know, okay, Saskatchewan and Hamilton. No, okay, yeah, he also hates Ottawa. This is the game that I don't want to watch. I don't want anyone to win, but Hamilton is losing. They'll lose more than Calgary. Let's put it that way.
I'll be on the airplane, so I don't have to watch it at all.
Oh. No, yeah, Air Canada. Yeah, it's WestJet that does the live TV. So, Will, since you're not watching it, who are you picking in this game?
Hamilton hasn't won in Calgary since 2004, apparently. And I don't think they are winning Friday either. I think Calgary's defense is just playing at another level right now. It'll be close, though. I mean, teams have shown that they can keep the Jake Mayer at bay.
All right, Doug.
Horse stomps Frankenstein cat.
All right, and then Saturday we've got, we start off with Toronto in Edmonton. And I think I'm picking Toronto by 27. Doug?
It's very specific.
Mm.
Yeah. See how close you actually are. Or beats Antler. Straight up, Argo's coming in, taking no prisoners. We're going on a raid.
And Will, what are you predicting for the live event happening in front of you this Saturday?
Well, I'm flying 3,297, I don't know, something like that. 3,000 kilometers. Actually, it's not as far as the crow flies, but still, I'm still flying at 2,699 as the crow flies. But nevertheless, I'm still flying to watch, still flying 4 hours to watch the play, so they better win.
And the nightcap, we've got Winnipeg in BC. Will, where are you going in this one?
BC could steal one. They're jockeying for playoff position, and Winnipeg is clinched first place.
I kind of agree there. I think Winnipeg could win this one. They're going to be a little bit upset after losing to us. I think BC is gonna squeak one out. As you said, Winnipeg is clinched. They don't have anything to play for. And we saw it last week. They took out Zach Kolaros and Dakota Prukop and Drew Brown got to see some time in there. So, yeah, I think we'll likely see some Zach Kolaros, but not a lot. So, I will also say BC. Doug?
Winnipeg is a very hot team right now, but their job is done for the regular season. So I can see BC coming out and stealing one.
All right. And I think that's about leads up to, unless there's any other news that you guys have.
We're doing 3-minute warning now, are we not?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I think we're right there.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes and you better make it good.
3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
Time for the longest 3 minutes in podcast history. Okay, first of all, I want to give a shout out once again to the Argo social media team and the fact that one video triggered all of Winnipeg. I mean, it was just in good fun, but yet, good Lord, did they ever take it to heart. And boy, were they triggered because of it. Basically, if you haven't seen it, it was after the game, and the Argos kind of rearranged the power rankings, and they put the Argos up at number one, and Winnipeg at number two, and apparently that triggered just about all of Manitoba. But if you really dig down into it. The fact is, number 9 is 401 Traffic. Number 10 was Oatmeal Raisin Cookies. Number 11 was Stubbing Your Toe. And then number 12 was Hamilton. Now, personally, I would slightly disagree with that. I would put 401 Traffic down to about the 10th. I would put Stubbing Your Toe up to 9th, and then Oatmeal Raisin Cookies down to 11th. I mean, but I would also replace Stubbing Your Toe with Stepping on a Lego. But doesn't matter. Either way, power rankings are all subjective anyway. But the fact that the Argos were able to really trigger Winnipeg just with that was phenomenal. Just wait till November 20th when we steal a Grey Cup from them. now, let's move on to the pork rankings for this week. However, it's not pork this week. It's another theme week. It is the Thanksgiving rankings this week. So as we begin, the Bombers are on top and they're turkey breast. Yeah, that delicious turkey breast meat that makes your mouth water all day long. My recommendation? Go full Bob's Burgers and brine that bad boy for maximum moisticity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay,
not even a word? Well, I guess it is now. Stamps, they're gravy. Thick and delicious. I pour it over everything. My wife does this Moroccan spice thing that makes that makes the most amazing gravy ever. Barely a drop for leftovers this year. Actually, that sounds very interesting. I would like to get the recipe for that.
Moroccan spiced gravy. Hmm. I'm intrigued.
I am? Yeah. Sounds very, like I said, send the recipe my way. The Lions are third, and they are the big old turkey drumstick. The whole leg. And don't be shy either. Just pick it up Fred Flintstone style and pretend you're a munchkin from The Wizard of Oz. Too many old man references in that one. To be fair, I'm not that old, and have I totally understood what you said.
I understood it too, so.
Yeah, and you and I are pretty much, we're like the same age anyway.
Yeah, I think we're pretty close to Todd Football's age, too, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, the Argos this week, your Toronto Argonauts, they are fourth, and they are stuffing. That's my favorite part of the meal, and it's his, too. Just going to be honest here, this is my favorite part of the meal. I'm just a big old stuffing lover. Even that time we had the cornbread oyster stuffing everyone else hated. Now, that has also got me curious.
The cornbread stuffing, okay, but the oyster, I'm not. I mean, I'll try it twice, but
you know, aren't oysters a fairly common ingredient in stuffing?
I don't know where. Where would they be?
In the States, I think. It was on...
Which state?
The West Wing, I think they mentioned it once.
Just because they mention it on the West Wing doesn't mean it's...
Remember, Thanksgiving down there, they just take it a whole...
Yeah, Thanksgiving down there is next level.
Yeah.
It's just next level of gluttony. So... next up, let's just move on here. The Alouettes, they're mashed potatoes. You would not believe the giant pot of mashed potatoes my wife had to make this year. My son peeled the first bag, and then he went and peeled another bag for good measure. So if this is the bag that I'm thinking it is, it's like 10 pounds of mashed potato.
That's
holy!
A lot.
The Costco russet potatoes.
I hope they had a few people there.
Yeah, I hope so too. Otherwise, you're going to be able to mortar up some brick with it.
And you didn't have enough burners to cook that many mashed potatoes.
One big pot.
Could have done it outside.
Could have. The worst is when those overflow, though.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe he's got one of those, like, kitchen, like, the commercial kitchen pots that are, like, four times as tall as your regular pot.
Mm.
Entirely possible. This week, the Hamilton Frankensteins, they are the veggies. Ain't nobody want no veggies on Thanksgiving. No, I'm done with that. No, I'm just kidding. I'll move on. This is the scoop. This is the scoop that goes on the tiny outside corner of the already overloaded plate. Eaten first and fast to get to the good stuff.
Yeah, you always eat the veggies so you can make that extra room for the other stuff that you want to put on there. And so we're all gonna eat our veggies because every one of us has been at the dinner table and mom says, eat your veggies. And so just, it's a natural thing now. You eat those veggies, get them over and done with.
Yeah, get like a teaspoon of them. right next to the big pile of mashed potatoes and the 2 pounds of stuffing.
My grandmother told me I didn't have to eat the vegetables if I didn't want to.
Well, show off.
let's move on. The Ottawa Redblacks, they are the Brussels sprouts.
Oh, God. I hate Brussels sprouts.
And I'm talking the plain old boiled ones my mom made when I was a kid. Awful. Sorry, Mom. Mm. My wife makes great Brussels sprouts, but only when she laces them with bacon. You can do that.
You can add bacon to everything.
And I would agree. When my mom ever made Brussels sprouts, like she was a boomer parent. She learned to cook from my grandmother, who was a World War II, refugee, and they didn't know. And the only thing they knew was cook the ever living fuck out of everything.
In lard.
Not necessarily in lard, just. Cook it till cook something till it really does look good and dead.
Cook it so, till the soul has died.
Pretty much, yeah. And, like we're talking like vegetables that would start out green and they would be gray by the time they're done. By the time my mother was done with them, gray and mushy.
And could you ever find a pepper grinder in your grandmother's house?
She might have had one, but I don't know where the hell she hid it.
Yeah, because that's something, too, with some of my relatives, that older generation. They don't never used pepper, salt.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because their last name is Seltzer, which does mean salt in some language.
All right, and where are the Elks?
Well... So we're going to skip over the Riders? Okay.
Oh, well, no. I'm sorry. I forgot about the Riders.
Yeah. They're the giblets.
Yeah.
The guts, the innards, the neck, the kidneys, the heart, and the gizzard. And for the first time ever, I looked gizzard up. It's the muscular stomach tissue. Ugh. I'd rather starve.
Yeah, that's the stuff everybody throws out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a story, actually. Well, I'm going to make this depressing, but poor Reggie Pleasant always got the gizzard, apparently, in his family.
Aw.
A lot of kids.
Yeah. Now I'll tell you what the Elks are. The Elks are just the carcass.
Hmm.
This is that leftover pile of bones that are put aside for later use. Sure, down the road they're going to make a really magnificent soup, but for now just park it and wait.
Mm. Got a good point about the soup.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, just throw it in a pot of boiling water. Make sure you skim the top or get all the crud out of it, and you make yourself a wicked turkey stock.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, one thing I have to mention. Should we go to Kazakhstan this week? Because I don't know. Did he put up anything really good?
Not. He was all right. You know, he yelled gypsies at. At one of
me.
What?
When Will tweeted out, please miss.
Oh.
and I have no context as to what field goal that pertained to. But Anton yelled gypsies.
It was the doink. It was the last one.
Okay. All right.
That's pretty funny.
AJ Willett's getting into the tweets from Kazakhstan.
Yes. He liked to tweet, and Anton was overjoyed with that.
I don't blame him.
He even screenshotted it.
I know.
Oh. Now, when AJ Willett's wife, who was more cowboy than any of the Calgary Stampeders, likes your tweet, then you're in the big time. All right, where are you going, Doug?
Okay, all right, so apparently we found out what Arjun Calhoun is doing with his spare time now. He's actually working for MLS&E. And furthermore, Football Ontario, who is a member of Football Canada, sent out a tweet earlier this afternoon saying, "We are collaborating with the Toronto Argos for a day in the life where you get to watch practice, tour the facilities, and get tickets to the game." So with this little package, it includes one ticket to the October 29th home game for the final game of the year, Toronto-Montreal, one entry to the Day in the Life event, which is October 26th, so that is a Wednesday, from 9 until 2. And with that, you get to watch practice, get a pizza lunch, enjoy some interactive games, have a locker room tour, and a media tour with special guests. And all that for $30.
That's a pretty damn good deal.
That is an awesome deal. So,
yeah.
Those of you who have kids in football, get on it, because
yeah,
trust me, you'll make their day for sure.
It's one of those things that it doesn't, something like that does not present itself very often. And, you know, if I would just, I'd write the kids a note to get out of school for that day.
No, I don't.
Hell, I would join them.
I'd find a way to get out of work that day myself.
Ah, and that was, I was actually going to bring that one up as well. So, good on Football Ontario, good on the Argos for putting up some a very nice event to I'm lost. It was just a very cool event, period.
Yeah, it's a very cool event.
All right, Doug, do we have anything else, or is that about done it?
Nah, that's done it.
All right. Well, I guess that concludes the Argos Fancast this week. Well, Doug, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find the Double Blue Order on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. Just do a search for us. You'll find us. And go and get yourself some merch. Season's coming to an end, so we might, you never know, might throw one or might throw something up before the end of the season. Either way, don't forget, law firm t-shirt, doublebluorder.ca.
And Will, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And if anybody is going to the Elks game this week in Edmonton against the Argos, and you see Will, I need you guys to post a selfie with Will. I want to see so many selfies with Will that his frown is, you can actually see the smoke coming out of his ears in the selfie.
You're requiring me to be in photographs.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we don't have any listeners in Edmonton.
All right. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the social media machines. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast, or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast or go directly to the argosfancast.podbean.com. That does it for the Argos Fancast this week. We'll talk to you when Will has returned from his 1,000 selfie tour of Edmonton and we talk about Argos clinching first in the East. Cheers, everyone.